Just a few words for probably to introduce myself. I am Hans Baumann, born in the Netherlands, coming to Japan in 1955, serving the Lord during 22 years in the land of Japan. And just a few weeks ago, I came with my family for the very first time to Canada and the United States. And so here is my word of excuse. In fact, I am not used to use the English language in preaching the word of God. So it will be absolutely simple English, but as the Lord has laid the message on my heart, I hope that this message from the Lord will come over to you. I like to open with you Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now in Acts chapter 10, it's quite a long chapter, but I like to read from verse 1. Acts chapter 10, from verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppe, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel who spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of those that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppe. Now in verse 9, we have concerning Peter. On the next day, as they went on their journey, drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And then we know that he saw this vision, the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending, in which were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And then in verse 15, what God hath cleansed, hath that call not thou common. And then from verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause for which ye are coming? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a righteous man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the next day Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppe accompanied him. And in verse 25, and Peter was coming in Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Verse 33, immediately therefore I send to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I receive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism with which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them who heard the words. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? He who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then asked they him to tarry certain days. So far the reading of his word, and the Lord will bless his word to each heart gathered here together this afternoon. Now I am aware of the fact that we have here a gathering not of the Lord's people as such. You know, the Roman Cornelius was a Roman officer, but he feared God. And as we see in the beginning verses, as a proselyte, he believed in the one God, and he worshipped God. And in Matthew 18, verse 20, we have, of course, a principle of our gathering. That is, where two or three are gathered in the Lord's name, there he is in the midst of them. Now, realizing that it is here not directly a gathering of his people, as we see the foundation in Matthew 18, verse 20, Still, I think and I believe that there are certain principles which we find so very clearly in Acts chapter 10, which can be or should be applied to our gatherings. For example, we see that there is a complete guidance of the Lord. This hour here in the house of Cornelius was well prepared. And this is just a wonderful thing to see in Acts chapter 10. We see, for example, the gathering here together after all those wonderful happenings that the Lord spoke to Cornelius on one side, and that the Lord spoke to Peter at another side. And then, you know how Peter was guided, and he came into the house of Cornelius, and there, how it is written in verse 33, and I think this is so important, in fact, for every gathering of the Lord's people. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? Now, therefore, we all here are present before God. To have a realization of the presence of the Lord. And I wonder many times, and I have to ask myself, always anew in fact, if I go to the meeting, to the gathering of the Lord's people, and I come to this door and come into the meeting place, have I really the realization in my heart that it concerns, in fact, to meet the Lord Himself? Do I realize in my heart deep enough that the presence of the Lord is here, where two or three are gathered in His name? There He is in the midst of them. I think so often we are coming and we don't realize enough the presence of the Lord with us. And even we may, if we have a ministry meeting going on, we may sit down there and we may have questions in our hearts. For example, who is going to speak tonight? What kind of interesting thing it will be tonight again, or what will be this or that, or you may have many questions about the meeting, how it will go on. But these are all questions in a very human way, because we must come to the gathering of His people to meet the Lord Himself. And as we have sang in our opening hymn, Master, speak, thy servant heareth. And it's always that the Lord is speaking. It is in fact, according to scriptures, I believe firmly, it is not a question who the Lord is using, as long as His voice is heard in our hearts. This is it. And so as here the people came together in the house of Cornelius, they stated as a statement which were not just words, but really with prepared hearts, absolutely prepared to be here together in the presence of the Lord. What? For what purpose? To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. To hear all things, not to hear the things which we like to hear. And we must say, this may be sometimes the case on the side of preachers, that they sometimes speak according to situations in a certain local assembly, instead of what is probably necessary, correcting situations in a certain local assembly.
And so also he, the people gathered together, the purpose is to hear all things that God commandeth thee of God. We automatically think about the wonderful testimony of Paul, and you know it is written in Acts, in chapter 20, where Paul testified, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God. And if we are together as the Lord's people, and gathered in His name, and what does it mean in His name or unto His name? I always explain it so clearly to the Japanese Christians. In fact, it means that the foundation of this gathering is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The contents of this gathering is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The goal, the purpose of this gathering is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is really all for us. And so to be together in His name, then it is the Lord who speaks to our hearts. And that we are prepared, as those people were in the house of Cornelius, once again to have prepared hearts, realizing that they are in the presence of God, and to hear. And I think, you know, because there is written, all things that are commanded thee, I think it is not only an hearing on the part of these believers, we see the result later. It is also hearing and listening. Listening in the meaning of following, accepting. Not only hearing, but absolutely be prepared as those people were in this place to hear all the words from God as the words of the Lord and to obey in complete obedience. Now this was the preparation, so to say, of a gathering on the part of the listeners. But at the same time, we see that, so to say, the speaker, the preacher, Peter, was prepared well enough to go to this house of Cornelius. What must it have meant for Peter? Really, if one would have spoken, so to say, to Peter, let's say, before these happenings of chapter 10, you know, Peter would have said, "No, not me." And you know that Peter was never recognized as such as an apostle to the Gentiles. We know Paul was. Peter was into the Jews, but still in the Acts of the Apostles, we see there moments that he was, so to say, opening up, that the gospel was brought to the Gentiles. But Peter had to learn a great lesson. That is the vision he got. And you know, he got that vision, and at first there was, in fact, opposition, so to say, in his heart. "No, Lord, not me. Not me." And before Peter could do this service for the Lord, of course, he had to accept this lesson from the Lord. That is, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. And so Peter was prepared, and heart completely prepared by the Spirit of God. That's why he could do this service for the Lord. Now I think there is another point in seeing Peter. As we have read in 23, in verse 23, certain brethren from Joppe accompanied him. And this is a nice picture. In fact, I like these words very much. Certain brethren accompanied him. If we see Peter, for example, some pages back, when he was released from the Sanhedrin, where he had to appear, you know, to give an account of that name, the name of the Lord Jesus in which he was preaching. You know, when he was released, there is written, and they went to their own company. Now here is written company. In fact, this is not in the original text as far as I know. They went to their own. Simply this. They went to their own. But Peter came out of prison. You know, when he realized that the things were true, he went to the house of Mary, and there a great number was gathered. And this is the thing. Peter always knew his way to go to the brethren. And for us, in all circumstances, we have to realize this very well. In fact, our crowns of protection is amongst God's people, is in the assembly. That is absolutely our crown where we are protected. You don't find protection in the Lord. Of course, the Lord, as Christians, we know the Lord is with us. But there is always special blessing of the Lord upon the fellowship of the saints. You may say, now this morning we have had again a great experience in remembering the Lord, and I think every Sunday how it comes to my own heart, it is every time a new experience. It is not that it is an old thing which we were guided to do after salvation, after baptism, after being received in the fellowship in the local assembly. But it is every Sunday a new experience, of course. And every Sunday hearing again the voice of the Lord, do this to my remembrance. And I remember a Japanese young man, he said, now, he really liked nature so well. He was a mountain climber, and he loved to do hiking and so on. And he said, you know, if I am alone by myself in the mountains, I really feel the presence of the Lord so, so real, and I can worship the Lord there. And you know, a hard-working man, and he would say on the Sunday, I would rather climb the mountain and be by myself with the Lord. With this kindness of the Lord, he can worship the Lord by himself, absolutely. You know, he can pray at this time, for example, if there is a prayer meeting going on of the Lord's people, you can say, oh, I can also pray at home. Of course you can. Of course. But we must have, so to say, a knowledge of the times. When it is the time that the Lord's people are gathering together, our place is there. And to be in the assembly of God, in fact, is such a great, great blessing. My dear brothers and sisters, it is in fact our crown where we are protected, our crown where we are blessed, our crown where we are corrected, where we need correction, where we are encouraged, where we need encouragement. Our crown where we really feed ourselves on the living word of God through the ministry of our brethren. Now Peter knew his way to go to his brother. And may you always know your way to go to the brethren. And I think this is really very nice that certain brethren accompanied him. Because, you know, really in the Lord's service also you feel, you may have a ministry where you are put so much by yourself, and still deep in your heart you always realize that you need your brother and that you need
feed your system. And it is a great encouragement for example, missionaries, as I may speak, for myself experiencing now that, you know, here and there the Christian would say, I never met you before, but at home we always prayed for you, or in the assembly prayer meeting we prayed for you. This is really a very great encouragement, because those prayers are not unanswered, absolutely not. And the Lord has done in His way, according to His will, what He pleased to do also over in Japan. So we see that Peter was guided by the Spirit with a complete prepared heart, that he had to learn this message from the Lord. Secondly, we see very clearly that he knew what it was to have fellowship with brethren. And I think we can find another point, so to say, in this preparation of Peter's heart to do this service for the Lord. Because in fact there was a creation of a very dangerous situation. Very dangerous. You remember how it is written, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. I ask myself, are we such people who want to be worshipped? How are we serving the Lord? And you know, as from a human standpoint, Peter might have felt very well. But you know, here it is the Lord's servant's duty, in the same moment, to correct the situation, what Peter did. And never accept anything what has to do with human worship. And there may be human worship amongst God's people, what you have done so well, and it may sound so nice, but we have to be very, very careful. I remember one of the brethren last Sunday in Abbotsford mentioning these words about the Lord's servant. He said there may be cases, you know, that a brother is on the platform and he shows himself as an humble man. But he comes down and in his daily life is he still the humble man as he is on the platform? So I really think that as we see Peter here correcting this awful, dangerous situation in which he was in fact, he said, Peter took him up and he said, stand up, I myself also am a man. The same level. And in the assemblies of God, as we serve, for example, as missionaries in Japan, realizing that we are always one of the brethren. One of the brethren. This is nice. To be one of the brethren. Now we have seen all the preparations done by God's Spirit in the heart of Peter, and also in the company gathered together here in the house of Cornelius. And now I like to just say a few words about the message itself. Then there is written, Peter opened his mouth. Peter opened his mouth. It really means the word which we have in scriptures, open thy mouth and I will fill it. I believe so. Peter opened his mouth. and said, and then the words of the Lord came out of the mouth of Peter to the people. But it's good if we, under the guidance of God's Spirit, know to open our mouth. But you know, if the Lord is not anymore speaking to us, we better stop. We better stop. Because it will never be that we stand here because we like to hear our own voice. Or that we stand here because we want to fill time, or what it may be. But we stand here just to open our mouth, so that the Lord can speak to each one of us. And at first, I always feel this very deep in my own heart. When I do missionary work in Japan, at first to myself, this heart of mine. Then Peter opened his mouth, and now we are going to see the message of Peter. What do you think about this message? It's a wonderful message. You know, but we have to see very clearly that this message is not in a particular way an emotional message. It is not. I can't see that there are any points, things in it appealing to the emotion of man. It is not an emotional message. It's not a matter of our feeling to have faith in the Lord. If you see these few verses as the message of Peter, it is also not a message to the intellect of man. Not at all. Not a message, so to say, appealing for the emotional feelings. Not a message addressed to the intellect of man. But it is a message stating facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we have to do it with facts in God's Word. And you have to believe the facts of His Word, because they are preached to us as facts. Not stirring up emotional feelings. This is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that will not say that we don't need to cry of our own sins. That is something else. I also had tears in my eyes that very first Sunday of September. Is it today the first Sunday of September? Yes, in 48, in 1948, when I was 19 years old. That was the very first Sunday of September in 1948, where I was in a place called Hilversum, and I had my many friends, and it was the after-war years from 1945 till 1948, 3 years. I thought, now I'm going to live, because 5 years were just as dark could be. And my last war year was spent as an underdiver, how we call them, an onderduiker, an underdiver, and I slept under the floor of the house. That was not a basement. You had to go in a cupboard, and my father had made in the cupboard a place where you could push it down and you could lock it from down the floor. But there was sand and stones, nothing else. And it was between
between, so to say, the floor of that house and the ground, it was like this. You had to creep there. You could never stand there. And that was in the last 4 years, the place where I had to sleep. And then still, of course, the Germans came in and they knew of hiding men and used the revolver and shooting in the house in several places. Now, when war was finished, after those dark 5 years of occupation in Holland, I thought, now I am going to live. And I wanted to live. You know, and I sought my pleasures in the world, completely in the world. Till, and that was in 48, and I remember that Sunday, you know, I had my friends and they were supposed to come to my house, and I said to my mom and dad, I said, no, I go on my bicycle, I go out, you tell my friends that I am away. And I was seeking, in fact. I was lonely, in fact, with many friends around me. I was awful lonely. And I was seeking, and I came to the next place, and there was the assembly place, and I passed it, in fact, and I did not know exactly the start of the meeting there, but it was on the Sunday afternoon, and I came in, and they had a baptism there at that time. And three young people were baptized. And you know, there was one brother speaking about baptism and about the joy of the Christians, and there I really felt it so much. This was the joy I could never speak about because I did not know it in my own heart. And I remember well, and when I came into that little hall, I was sitting in, you know, the very last place, because the meeting was finished, I wanted to flee away as soon as I could. And this I did, in fact, that I went home and I went to my own room and I kneeled for my bed and I really had there the experience to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And then there was a joy in my heart which never departed. How our brother said this morning, it never depends on circumstances whatsoever. This joy is a deep, deep joy. And so, my dear brethren and sister, if we have here a message of Peter before us, it is not an appeal, let's say, to the emotions of men. It is not. It is not an appeal, so to say, an address to the intellect of men, not at all. This is not the message of God. But there are stated facts, and this we have to accept. The facts about the Lord Jesus. And so, you know, then we know that Peter, in fact, he did probably not know clearly how to act, probably, because we see that here there was in 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, because Peter had at first to see this sign gift, where you have the preaching of the apostles accorded or accompanied with miracles and signs. Yes, a sign gift, but not for today. Because the facts you ought to know in order to be saved are found completely in the Word of God. And there is no operation whatsoever of the sign gifts in our time. This is very clear. And so we preach the gospel in preaching the facts. And we have our faith and our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the facts. And we have faith not built upon our own feelings. Oh no. Then I would be a very waving Christian, you know, according my feelings. That is awful. And it is not a faith built upon our intellect. It is a faith built upon the facts of the word of the Lord. And so today, out of Acts chapter 10, we have seen how the Holy Spirit, from the beginning till the end, had full control. And the preparations which were done by the Holy Spirit are just wonderful, and I think, in principle, they can be applied to a gathering as we know it now, gathered together in His name. May I repeat once again, to come in as His people, to have a knowledge, an experience, an heart experience that we are in the presence of God, that we have prepared hearts to hear all the words of the Lord, and that we are listeners, and in listening I mean obeying the word of the Lord. Also, the one who is going up the platform to speak to the Lord's people, that he is well prepared, prepared by the Holy Spirit. And when he opens his mouth, so nice, nothing else what he has to do, nothing from himself, open his mouth, and then the Lord will speak. And the message, not a message to stir up emotional feelings, not a message appealing to the intellect of man, because in man's eye, the unsaved, still the message of God and the message of salvation is still foolishness. And the cross is the greatest weakness according to the wisdom of man. That is not a manifestation of power. But for us who are saved by the grace of God, it is a power unto salvation, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to hear facts if we hear the Lord's word. And we want to put our faith upon these facts. And my dear brothers and sisters, may we go on. Really, be built up in our faith, acknowledging the facts of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning His coming, concerning the prophecies even before, concerning His perfect life here on earth, concerning His sufferings and death at Calvary's cross, concerning His resurrection, concerning His ascension to heaven, concerning Him to be at the right hand of the Majesties on high, of the Majesty on high, as our High Priest, concerning His coming, at first in the rapture of the saints, in a twinkle of a moment, concerning what is to follow, concerning the things from eternity to eternity, the great plan of salvation of God Himself, with you, with me, with mankind, with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, always as the center. Till all in unto eternity, the cross as the center of His great plan with man, with you, with me.